Today is May 27th, 2009. I'm in beautiful Lake Tahoe, Nevada, with Dylan Evans, who is a professor of psychology at University College Cork in Dublin, England. And he presented a paper yesterday about expert gamblers as role models. And I'd like to ask him to talk a little bit about the paper. So, there we go. Can you tell me, Dylan, what the three types of gamblers are as you've conceived them?
Right. I distinguish very broadly between problem gamblers, social or leisure gamblers, and expert gamblers. The problem gamblers are people who bet more than they can afford to lose and lose it, and as a result suffer consequences in their social life, their love life, their business, and so on. Then there are social gamblers, or also leisure gamblers, I call them. They people who bet only what they can afford to lose. They still lose it, but for them it's a kind of rational purchase because the fun they buy with the money they lose is worth it. And then there's a small percentage of what I'm calling expert gamblers. And these are people who consistently win at gambling, and as a result they earn a profit.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the profile of the expert gambler. What kind of games do they play? Where would you find them, and what are they like?
Well, they have the expert gamblers, you will only find them playing games in which there is some kind of opportunity for skill. So with a game like roulette, for example, where not only is there no skill, but the odds are tilted in favor of the house, you will not find an expert gambler playing that. In the same way, you will never find an expert gambler playing a slot machine. It's just no possibility of winning that. That's only for leisure gamblers or problem gamblers. So the games that you will find expert gamblers betting on are different kinds of games depending on the kind of skill that you require. You may find them playing a game like blackjack. That requires a kind of skill for memorization. You may find them playing a game like poker, which requires skills for reading other people and bluffing. And you may find them playing a game betting on horse racing or dog racing. And these kind of games, they require a skill for estimating probabilities. And that's my main focus, I guess, is really on that latter kind of game.
Interesting. So tell us a little bit about risk intelligence. And also, if you could tell us a little bit about Howard Gardner's theories for those of us who aren't familiar with them. Just tell us a little bit about this idea of risk intelligence.
Right. Well, Howard Gardner is a psychologist who's come up with this idea of multiple intelligences. In other words, you don't just have a single score for IQ, but you also have different scores for different types of intelligence. So you may be really good at maths, but sort of bad at reading people's emotions. So you'd have a low emotional intelligence, but a high kind of math intelligence. But one thing that Gardner really never looked at was the way we think about risk. So what I'm proposing is that there, in addition to the kind of multiple intelligences that Gardner described, there's some extra kind of intelligence that we should add to his list, which is specifically a kind of intelligence that helps people think wisely about making risky choices. And that kind of risk intelligence, I'm calling, is you can see it particularly clearly in expert gamblers, especially in the ones whose skill consists in estimating probabilities, like the ones who bet on horse races.
How do you define risk in your studies? What would you consider risk?
Well, I'm taking a fairly basic definition of risk, which is any decision under uncertainty. So a decision in which your payoff will depend on some factors which you don't entirely know, like throwing a dice or the win of a horse or something like that.
So tell us a little bit about, actually I'd like to back up, and before we talk about expert gamblers, I'd like to talk a little bit about what you do. Can you tell us a little bit about who you teach and how they are with risk intelligence?
Sure. I teach psychology in a school of medicine in Cork, in Ireland, and the medical students are often faced with many decisions under uncertainty. They have to, for example, estimate the probability that someone has a certain disease. So they're given a patient and with a set of symptoms, they have to say, what chance is there that this patient has this disease? And it turns out that medical students, like most people, and indeed, I'm afraid, like most experienced doctors as well, have a very low risk intelligence. So my project is about trying to learn from people who have high risk intelligence, such as expert gamblers, how we can improve risk intelligence in other people, especially doctors.
So tell us about how doctors do with risk intelligence. What are some of the errors they make?
Well, the most important, common error that doctors make is overconfidence.
Okay.
So they will, for example, in assessing someone who has a cough and other, a few other related symptoms, and they're asked to say, what are the chances that this person has pneumonia? They will typically overestimate that chance, and they'll be very confident in their guess, so which makes it particularly dangerous, of course.
So for people out there listening, get a second opinion, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. What are some other... How do other people do with risk intelligence? How about weathermen? How do they do with risk intelligence?
Weather forecasters, especially in the United States, do very well. They score very highly. They're able to make very accurate probability estimates. For the last 40 years, they've been required to say not just, is it going to rain tomorrow, but what's the probability that it will rain? It turns out that they're very good at this.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about expert gamblers and how they stack up with risk intelligence.
Well, the expert gamblers, their livelihoods depend on having a high risk intelligence, so it's not surprising, perhaps, that they score pretty highly. And they are, I've been trying to figure out what it is about the way these expert gamblers think that makes them different and makes them able to do so well at risk intelligence, because it's not correlated with IQ. In other words, you can have the brightest people in the world scoring really highly on IQ, but they've got very low risk intelligence and vice versa. So what is it about these expert gamblers that makes them different? And it's still early days, but what I'm kind of beginning to see is that there's a bunch of personality traits that seem to correlate with this. One of them is the ability to put aside emotion when you're taking these decisions and not get caught up with the adrenaline rush that comes with, and that often happens with leisure gamblers and problem gamblers. And another one is discipline and also insight into your own mistakes, being honest with yourself when you make mistakes.
And you've looked at mostly sports bettors?
So far, I've looked at mainly people who bet on horses. And bookmakers as well, and people in the betting industry.
Okay.
But I've also interviewed a couple of hedge fund managers, because my definition of gambler is now becoming a bit broader. It's not just people who do the sort of traditional betting that we associate with gambling, but also other people whose decision, whose livelihoods depend on making probability estimates, like people who, for example, have to decide, how likely is it that this company is going to go bust or not?
So when people make mistakes with their who have low risk intelligence, is it mostly that they don't see things that the people with high risk intelligence see, or do their brains just process it differently, that they don't cognitively, they're not thinking about risk the same way that the high risk intelligence people are?
Well, again, that's something that I'm still really trying to find out. It seems that they are often, they often allow themselves to be guided by their gut feelings. Rather than really trying to think about these things in a sort of more rational and logical way. So it's that ability to just, in a sense, approach things in a slightly more cold and clinical manner. When you're assessing what horse to bet on, you don't just say, oh, I really like the name of that horse, which is a lot of what a lot of people do when they go to the racetrack, but they say, they look at the form, they look at the statistics, they read, they get as much information as they can, and then they kind of work out what each bit of that information means. Does it mean the horse is more likely to win or less likely to win? How important is it? Should it be discarded? And somehow they manage to combine all that information in their heads and come up with a probability estimate.
Tell us a little bit about gambling in Ireland. Are these expert gamblers held in high regard in Ireland?
They are. Ireland, as a, you know, the Irish culture, has a long a traditional association with gambling. Gambling is part of the culture. It's something that a lot of people engage in, and it's not regarded as something bad, but something fun. And obviously, there are problem gamblers there too. But you know, a lot of people indulge in gambling without any serious problems. And the people who do well are national heroes. J.P. McManus is one of the guys I've interviewed, one of the richest men in Ireland now. He made his fortune entirely by gambling, and everybody in Ireland has heard of him. And everybody, he's like a hero, a cultural hero.
So, as we conclude, tell us a little bit about what direction your research is going to take and some of the things you'd like to do.
Well, what I'd like to do is obviously interview more expert gamblers in the coming months. That's one of the things I hope to do here at the conference, is to meet more professional gamblers, and so I can make some more interviews. But once I've built up a picture of risk intelligence on a kind of intuitive basis by means of these interviews, I hope to be able to distill that into some more rigorous quantitative picture, which I can then use to go out and gather more quantitative data on. And ideally, what I'd like to do is then find out some way of teaching risk intelligence to people, because that's my ultimate aim, is to improve risk intelligence among people like doctors and other professionals.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for talking with us, and good luck with your future research.
Thank you very much.
Okay.